number one, how to think about what you're thinking about. Number one, love God more than the guy or the girl or the guys and the girls that you're thinking about. Love God more than the girls and the guys you're thinking about. We're going to start with something you probably heard before, but just because you've heard it before doesn't mean you've mastered it. Look with me at Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 35. Turn in your Bibles there if you'd like to. Matthew 22, starting in verse 35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? I want you to imagine you've never heard this story before. And someone, you get to kind of read it for the first time, and someone says to Jesus, hey, if you could pick one command that God gives that's more important than any of the others, what's the greatest commandment that God's ever given? I don't know what you'd say back to that, but probably if maybe you asked the random person, average person in the world, and you said, hey, what do you think Jesus would say is the most important commandment that God's ever given? Maybe you get something like, be nice to people. Hey, that sounds good, right? It's a good thing to do. I wish more people would follow that. That'd be great, right? Or maybe you get something like, thou shalt not murder. Hey, I'm all for not murdering people. I can get on board with that. Maybe you can too. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? What's he say? Verse 37, and he said to him, you should love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. His answer is the most brilliant, most all-encompassing, most drop the mic and walk off the stage answer that he could have ever given. It's amazing because in Mark's account of this story, in Mark's account of this story, we read that after Jesus answers this question, it says, and nobody, after this, nobody dared ask him any more questions because they got tired of Jesus just bringing it like that. All right? And so here he says this answer, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. He says, in this one commandment, he names every commandment. It's masterful. It's an answer that only Jesus could give. Well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, every command, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God becomes important. Another way of thinking about it is from 1 John 5, verse 3, and there's other verses we can look at that say something similar. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If we love God, we'll do whatever he asks. What's that, God? You want me to do what? You want me to honor my father and mother? That's super hard, Lord, because I don't always like what they have to say. But I love you. And so I'll do it. Be holy as you are holy. Lord, that is super hard in the day and the time where I live. But if you're a God and I love you, I'll do it. When you love God with every ounce of your being, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, your love for God pours out into everything you do and everything you touch and everywhere you go and everybody you meet. Hey, wait a minute. I thought you said tonight we're talking about guys and girls. What's up with that? I mean, by the way, I thought it was funny. You know, we can separate you, but you're still thinking about each other, right? You're still thinking about girls. Still thinking about guys. I thought you were going to talk about guys and girls. What's this got to do with the opposite sex? Listen, it's got everything to do with the opposite sex. Love God more than girls. Love God more than guys. Love God more than your girlfriend, more than the stuff you like to do with your girlfriend. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I don't think it'd be a stretch. I don't think it'd be crazy to add the word boyfriend or girlfriend to that list. You love a girl or a guy more than Christ, you're not worthy to follow him. Well, of course I know that. I've heard that all my life. I'm smart enough to know that. I'm smart enough to know that I have to love God more than anyone else. You know who was smart enough to know that? The smartest man who ever lived, Solomon. But you know what his weakness was? Women. Did he know that he was supposed to love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength? Absolutely. But look at this. 1 Kings 11, verse 3. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David, his father, had been. I know some great guys who have a real weakness when it comes to women. You know people like that? Some great girls who have a real weakness when it comes to guys. They're good people. It's just their Achilles heel. I think of a guy that every time he starts dating a girl, we stop seeing him at church. Now, wait a minute, Philip. That's not fair. How can you honestly say that I love my girlfriend more than I love my God? That's just not the case. Okay. Prove it. How's your prayer life? How many times you miss church to go hang out with the girl? If you're being totally honest and not defensive, how's your relationship with God really right now? That girl that you're crazy in love for, that guy that you're crazy about, that girl that you can't get out of your head. Number one, love God more. Love God more. Number two, how to think about what you're already thinking about. How to think about what you're thinking about. Learn love from God. Learn love from God. This is so important. We are taught by the things that we see. I have a favorite, one of my favorite bands. We're talking about this on the way up here tonight. One of my favorite bands, Guster. I learned a song on guitar this week. You know how I did that? I watched Guster play a song on YouTube. Bam. That's how we learn, right? We're taught by what we see. Maybe you live in a house where your dad's a real jerk. You're probably learning some things about how to be a jerk, right? If you grow up in a home where your mom and dad are people who love the Lord and they're God-fearing people and they're faithful to Him, you're probably seeing some things. You're probably learning some things about how to love God and how to be faithful to Him. Let me tell you what scares me to death. I got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. It scares me to death what my kids are going to learn. They're going to learn love from this world. Because the world's definition of love and God's definition of love are two completely different things, guys. Two completely different things. Two people are married. It comes out that one of them's having an affair. And so he leaves his wife and he says, listen, I love her. I love her. And I know that she makes me happy. And God wants me to be happy. So I don't see how in the world it's wrong for me to leave my wife and take this one as my wife. Because we love each other. And God just wants me to be happy. I love this other woman. No, you don't. You might call it love. But you don't love each other. You lust each other. Maybe you know somebody at your school who's convinced themselves and justified, by the way, in their mind, that it is not wrong for them to have sex with each other, even though they're not married. Why? Well, we know that it's okay for us. We know that we're in love. We know it's right. I had people like that at my school. We both really feel good about it, and God just wants me to be happy. No. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say that God wants you to be happy. Did you hear that? Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say that God wants you to be happy. It's never been God's priority for your life. God's never said, oh, let me step down from the throne in heaven for a second, and you come on up here and you have a seat on the throne, because I want you to have a seat where I sit. After all, I just want you to be happy. And some of my commandments, they might step on your toes, so I'm just going to step aside. You come on up here. I'll let you be God for a little bit. 50 Shades of Grey. We giggle, we laugh, but it is twisted, guys. That is not love. That is not love. It scares me because we live in this world where we're told, maybe you get on Twitter and you see hashtag relationship goals. In other words, these are people that say, these are the goals in my relationship that I want to have. I don't suggest you go home and do a search on that hashtag, because you're going to see things you don't want to see, things you don't need to see. If those are where you're getting your definitions of love, if those are where you're getting your goals for your life, it's so messed up. It's not of God. Listen, what some people call love doesn't deserve to be called love. This beautiful word reserved for describing the relationship between us and God, this relationship that God longs to have with us. You want to have a beautiful romance? A lot more a lot more of us than, if I just asked that to the girls, a lot of their hands would go up. A lot of the guys' hands would go up too. You want to have a beautiful love story? Probably most of us do. You want a perfect love story? We must first learn perfect love. Jesus says the single most important commandment in the law is about the single most important relationship in the world, loving God. You want to know a relationship goal? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you get a girlfriend, fine. If you don't, it doesn't matter. That's fine too. Why? Because that is your ultimate relationship goal, to love God. That's it. So what is love? If we're going to listen to God's definition, what is love? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Just like we sang a moment ago, love never ends. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Did you hear that? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What's the definition? God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, so we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Skip down to verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. When I was in high school, I thought, and I really spent a lot of time thinking about this. This kind of sounds weird. I'm a weird guy, all right? But I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to define love. I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to write down some things. What does love really mean? And so I just wrote down, I thought, if I could boil this in like a sentence or a picture or a statement, what would it look like? Listen, it doesn't matter who you are, who I am. When God's already defined it, you can't do any better. You're not smarter than God. I'm not smarter than God. When He says it, He defines it. We need to listen. You cannot truly understand love until you come face to face with the one who invented it. Learn to fall in love with God, and He will teach you how to fall in love. And that's really a great segue into number three, how to think about what you're thinking about. Number three, how to think about what you're thinking about. Look for a God chaser. Look for a God chaser. Maybe that's a strange expression. But someone who is chasing after God's own heart. A verse that means a lot to me, a verse that I discovered about the same time that I met the girl that I would marry. From Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Maybe you know this verse. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Listen closely. There are a lot of girls that I didn't have to date in order to know that I didn't need to date them. There are a lot of guys that you don't have to date in order to know that you don't need to be dating them. You ever heard a girl say something like this? And it's usually a girl that I hear say something like this. I'm not trying to pick on you girls, but it seems like I hear this from girls a lot. I just don't understand why I always end up in a relationship with a terrible guy. I just don't understand why I always pick the bad guys. I don't know. I don't understand why it just seems like every time I get in a bad relationship, he turns out to be a jerk. I'm going to go a little bit if you give a mouse a cookie on you, okay? So you might have to turn three for a moment, but follow this logic, okay? So get ready. Chances are you get in a relationship with a guy that's bad news because you hang around guys that are bad news. And if you hang around guys that are bad news, you'll go on a date with a guy that's bad news. And if you go on a date with a guy that's bad news, you might go on another date with a guy that's bad news, and another date, and another date, and another date, and then you're in a relationship with a guy that's bad news. And remember, you marry someone that you date. And so the odds of you marrying a guy that's bad news are a whole lot better odds than if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to go out on a date with a guy that's bad news. You might marry a guy that's bad news, and then a few more years down the road, you might have kids. And if you do, their father will probably still be bad news. And you think, how did I get here? How did I get myself into this mess? So in summation, don't hang out around dudes that are bad news. Your unborn children of the future will thank you one day, right? But seriously, what's the easiest way not to marry a guy that's a terrible guy? Don't date a terrible guy. You know, the easiest way not to date a terrible guy? Don't keep company with guys that are bad news. Keep company with good guys. You know the best way to keep company with good guys? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. When you love God that way, you'll begin to understand the love that God has for you. And you'll love yourself enough to date people that'll love God in the same way you do. And you'll attract people that are trying to do the same things you are. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Number four tonight, we'll wrap up here. Number four, how to think about what you're already thinking about. Let the Lord be the Lord over your relationships. Let the Lord be the Lord over your relationships. Anybody else excited? Maybe I'm the only one, but is anybody excited about the new Star Wars movie that's coming out later this year? Okay, a few of you are. I don't know, what are you excited about? Why are you excited for new Star Wars? Tell me something you're excited about with new Star Wars. Talk to me a little bit. Did any of the girls' hands go up? Any Star Wars fans? What are y'all excited about? I want to hear from some of you guys out here. What are you excited about? The new lightsaber. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about that too. Jar Jar Binks. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you're excited about seeing Han Solo come back, right? If he can stop getting injured, right? The main reason I'm excited about the new Star Wars movie is because of a guy named J.J. Abrams. Anybody know J.J. Abrams? Some of you do. Who's J.J. Abrams? The guy who created, I heard somebody say it, Lost. He didn't have to do anything else. He just made Lost, I'm good, right? Best show ever. J.J. Abrams created Lost. He's also directed a lot of other movies and shows that you would know. But I'm excited about the new Star Wars movie just because of the director. The things he does are good. There's a lot of shows, like if I'm watching TV and I see a little preview, coming soon from J.J. Abrams, record. All right, I don't care what, I'm going to watch it. Why? Because he's a great director. We do this too. A lot of you probably do this if you read. You do this with books, right? Because you're like, Nicholas Sparks wrote a new book. I'm going to read. All right, so you get excited, right, guys? I know you get excited. And so you go out and you buy it, right? Because he's a great author and the things that he does you like. You go see a movie sometimes based on, hey, is Channing Tatum in it, right? No, I don't care, but maybe you do. You know, you go, apparently some people do because they go see the movies he's in, right? Listen, I can make you a promise. If you allow God to direct your love story, if you allow God to be the author of your love story, if you allow the Lord to be the Lord over your relationships, it'll be good. It'll be beyond good. It'll be spectacular. It might not work out the way that you think it's going to work out, but it's going to be okay. Why? Because you love the Lord your God more than anything else. A lot of women across America go crazy and they get excited when a Nicholas Sparks novel comes out or when one of the books gets adapted into a movie. I'm not casting stones at him, but I'm just stating a fact. Did you know that Nicholas Sparks and his wife are getting a divorce? This guy who's written these beautiful love stories, I tell you what, if two Christians will allow God to write their story, it's going to be spectacular. Why? Because God writes true love stories. And I'll do you one better. Don't have a girlfriend? You aren't married? That's fine. You don't have to be. You don't need a wife or a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend to be part of the most spectacular story ever told. God loves you more than anybody in this world could ever love you. If you get into a relationship, I beg you, spend your time chasing after God together. Pray together. That is a beautiful thing. Read the Bible together. Go to church together. Go to some youth events together. Talk about God together. Let the Lord be the Lord over your relationships. Let Him reign over it. You know, maybe tonight that this subject kind of makes you uncomfortable for a lot of reasons, but maybe one of the reasons is because when you look back on some of the relationships you're in, you think, man, that was really ungodly. God was not a part of that relationship, not where I wanted Him to be. Maybe you look back on some of those times and you feel guilty and you feel ashamed of some of the things you've done. It's along those lines that I want to show you a beautiful story in the Word of God, and we'll close with this tonight. Look with me at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment and began standing behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Listen, there's sometimes we read Bible stories and we go, well, that was sort of a cultural thing. It doesn't matter what culture you live in, that is an awkward situation, right? You're at somebody's house and you're having a party, and all of a sudden somebody comes into the party that you didn't invite. Number one, that's awkward, right? How come nobody told me about the party? What's going on here? That's awkward, right? But then the person comes into the party, they go see one of the guests of honor, a woman gets down on the floor, starts sobbing. That's awkward. We don't like to see people doing that in public places, right? It makes us uncomfortable. And so this woman comes into the house. She breaks down. She falls to her knees. She takes this expensive perfume, this ointment. She begins to cry and wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair and her tears. That is extremely uncomfortable. Whatever culture you're in. And if you can imagine how awkward that must feel. Imagine being the host of this party. What am I going to do with what's happening here? Look where his mind is. Let's go to the next verse. Now when the Pharisee, verse 39, who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, 500 days' wages, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We don't know her name. All we know is her reputation. I don't think it's far off to imagine that the things that people were saying about her reputation were sexual in nature. I don't think that's off base. Here's a woman that comes in and the whispers start. Maybe tonight as we talk about this subject, you're somebody that doesn't have the best reputation. Or if they knew what you really did with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend, it wouldn't be good for your reputation. Three things Jesus says to this woman that I want you to hear before we close. Please hear what Jesus is saying. Three things he says to this woman that I think everybody in this crowd needs to hear tonight. Number one, he says, your sins are forgiven. This woman with a terrible reputation who'd blown it and messed up, she came to Jesus in her brokenness, and Christ said, I forgive you. You need to hear that. God can make something beautiful of the mess that you've made. Number two, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Maybe it's time to put your money where your mouth is when it comes to your faith. It's not necessarily your faith that saves you, but it's in your faith in the one who can save, with the power to save, that can save you. The third thing he says to the woman is, go in peace. Go in peace. Tonight you can leave here with peace. God can take the mess that you've made and He can clean it up. He can give you a new heart. He can take your sins away. Tonight, like Scott was saying earlier, I hope that nobody would leave here in a condition that would leave them apart from God. Jesus wants to be close to you. When the woman comes before Him, He doesn't say, okay, this is awkward, get out of here. He lets her be broken, and then He heals her. Tonight, maybe you're broken. Jesus can heal you. I hope that you won't let tonight pass by without making that right. If you need to come forward and ask for prayers, whatever you need, please come as together we stand and sing together.